is. It's 1 minute.
Start. I don't want to be late. Welcome you to school board meeting. We're glad you're here. We have all board members present and Superintendent Sitrude and Jared Black, this is administrator. We will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance, so if you'll all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item are the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for June 2015 board meeting, and the financial reports for June 2015. Are there any questions or that haven't been answered?
I don't think there are. Make a motion that we approve them as we have received them.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? We have personnel actions. Names for approval.
I have two names to present. The first one is, you probably wouldn't know who it is if I told you the full name, Jerry R. Jones.
Yes, J.R.
J.R. Jones is a principal at Bookcliff Elementary School. We interviewed three candidates down there, and he was selected. He's in a program with Southern Utah University. Also, Jamie Anderson, Canyon View is recommending Jamie as their student tracker out of their land trust funding to replace someone that quit.
What does a student tracker do?
They track student grades. They check on students who are at risk, who are struggling, keep the principal and teachers informed of, you know, right exactly where they're at so they don't fall through the cracks.
Is that a full-time job?
No, it's ranges from 3 to 6 hours. I think this is a 3-hour position here. But this is paid for out of their local school land trust through their school community council. This is where most of their land trust funding is used, and they see it as a real valuable program, and I agree with it.
Do we have one of those at other schools, or just that one?
Canyon View, I think, is the only one right now that's... San Rafael may have started
have
one this
that.
Past year.
I'm not
year.
Sure if they do this upcoming year or not.
Yeah. But Canyon View has had one and sometimes two. So, anyway, I'd recommend those. those new
question about positions. Mr. Jones is then he's just finishing his administrative.
He's just working on it now.
Okay.
Starting.
Yeah,
okay.
He has to have it finished within 2 years. That's the way it was advertised.
Okay.
It's very difficult to find.
Yes.
Principals down there.
Okay, I was surprised.
We only had one of the candidates that is completely or has the administrative, Chris Watkins.
Okay.
Janet K. Wall is finishing hers through SUU, and JR is starting his program. We'll finish it within the 2 years. One of the concerns where was longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Janet Kay, in talking with me, indicated that she was looking at that temporarily and then wanting to move to this side of the county. So, JR just bought a home and plans
another
to
home.
Be there. And
yeah.
He will be teaching special ed half day and half day principal. So we are looking for a half a day teacher down there, and I don't know what we're going to find. We may end up combining some grades. I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but we're going to have to decide soon.
Yeah, getting close.
Coming.
We're still looking for a teacher at Farron Elementary, and an adult ed teacher. So. Anyway, I'd recommend the board approve those two names.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have a request for FFA National Convention travel. Justin Thornley, you ready to?
Okay. Well, first off, I wanted to show you guys, I brought a couple of packets for you that should have been on your desk. So we're going to go through these a little bit. However, I wanted to introduce myself a little bit for those of you who don't know me. My name is Justin Thornley. I just completed my fourth year at Emory, teaching agriculture education there. I'm the FFA advisor as well. Last year was my eighth year total teaching. So anyway, that's just a little bit about me. The program's going good. You know, we're building. We're constantly getting more and more members. And we're trying to expand our horizons and do things a little bit better. So with me, I have Nate Gilbert and Coy Jensen, who are two kids who are planning on traveling with me to National FFA Convention this fall. I have two other kids who are planning on trying to go with me as well. McCoy Chris Jansen is a National High School Rodeo Finals this week. And Dalton Bennett from Farron, he's at Yellowstone on a family vacation. So they couldn't be here, but if they were in the county, I'm sure they'd be here as well. What I want to do first off is I have a couple of video clips. You know, I guess the teacher in me came up with this presentation that, you know, I'd be bored if I just stood up here and talked. So I have two different video clips I'm going to show, one at the beginning, one at the end. This one was produced by National FFA. And so we'll...
Yeah, flip your chairs around probably. For some of them swivel, but some don't. So.
Okay, so just a little intro to FFA if you don't know what it's all about. Interesting points from the video, over half a million FFA members nationwide. We are the second largest youth organization for kids under the age of 18. The only one bigger than us is the Boy Scouts. And so it's a big time organization. Here at Emory, last year we had 163 FFA members. We are an affiliated chapter, which means that every kid who runs through my program is an FFA member. The district helps support that, and it's a huge support for our kids that they don't have to pay a membership due up front to be a member of the FFA. When they join my class, they are automatically members of our organization. So what we're going to do, I have a couple of these guys, and they're going to go over
Justin,
some of the...
Justin, let me just ask you a question. Do you recall how many students we had involved when you came here 4 years ago?
When it was a part-time program, so I can't remember exactly how many classes she taught. I think she taught one class more than part-time, so I think there was like four classes. And I would say that there was maybe total FFA membership of about 53 members.
That's what I was thinking.
It's
about
pretty close.
A little over triple.
A full-time program means a full-time chapter. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things I've tried to do is make the chapter run a little bit better and have more goals and do it that way. So this National FFA Convention is another goal that I've set that I think that we need to move up on. As attending this convention. So Nate's going to go over kind of the finances of kind of where this is at. Now, one thing that I want to make sure you understand, Nate was going to say this, but I'm sorry, Nate, I can't stop talking. But these kids are dedicated to pay their own way to get there. We're not here begging for money to send us. These kids have been working hard all summer, and I've been to their projects. I've been doing my summer ag stuff and seeing what these guys are doing. To pay their own way to go to these things. So I'll turn some time over to Nate and go over the finances.
All right, the flight out there at Teen National Convention is gonna be $700, and registering for it is gonna be 50. The National Convention is gonna be $50. Ground transportation around the lake, tourism back from hotel to the convention and stuff, that's going to be about $100. The hotel is going to be $300, and tours is going to be around $100 too. Quiz going to tell you about the tours and stuff.
All right, so we're going to be leaving on Monday, October 26th. We're going to go to, if our flight was early the 27th, we're going to head up there the 26th and stay the night. The 27th, our flight will leave, and we'll fly into Nashville, Tennessee. We're planning on going to the Country Music Hall of Fame because getting out of Emory County is kind of a big deal. If we're over there, we might be stuff while we're over there. We're going to hit the Grand Country Music Hall of Fame. We're planning on hitting the Grand Ole Opry, and we'll spend that night there in Tennessee, in Nashville. The next day, we'll get up and we'll head over to Louisville, Kentucky, and we're going to hit the Jim Beam factory just to show how much...
Louisville. There you go.
Louisville. We're going to head over to Louisville and hit the Jim Beam factory to show how much everything has with agriculture. Then we're going to head over to the National Convention to the career show. Everyone has their... Our age has their career. CDL finals. And then we're going to hit the opening session there and the awards dinner afterwards. And then we're going to camp that night out there. Thursday, we're going to hit the Cummins Technical Center there in Louisville. Hit the Blue Spring Caverns. I've been told that's a big cave that you get toured through. Then we'll have our... stay there that night too. Friday we're going to hit the Church Downs at the Kentucky Derby, where the Kentucky Derby is held there, and we're going to hit the Louisville Baptist Center, and then we're going to hit the Belle of Louisville dinner cruise. Sorry about that. Then Saturday we're planning on hitting American Degree, because we have a Dylan Greenan from Emory County, from high school, that is going to accept his American Degree that session. And then we're going to travel to St. Louis, Missouri, and maybe hit the Gateway Arch, the Cardinals Hall of Fame Museum, and then we'll stay there in Missouri. And then Sunday, we're just going to plan on flying out of St. Louis, Missouri to Salt Lake. That'll be it.
And be in school Monday morning?
And be in school Monday morning.
Good job.
Ready to hit it hard.
So as you can see, we're kind of busy. Now, that sounds like a lot of touring. Man, I agree with Coy, the getting out of Emory County and seeing some industry and letting these kids realize that agriculture is not just what we see driving down the highway of farms and everything. I teach a lot of kids who want to go back on the farm, and I'm really sad that not all of them are going to be able to do that. It's just not a reality anymore for people to make a living solely on farming on a small hobby farm like what we have in our area. So anyway, I'm trying to get these kids out to see a lot of different things, some different industries that they can pursue as a future career in their studies. Now the last page on that first packet kind of goes over the teacher expenses, which are pretty much the same. So the airfare, obviously we're trying, I don't have anything booked yet. If we can get it cheaper, we're gonna get it cheaper. But I told these guys when we started, hey look, it could be $700 to fly. And so that's kind of what they're planning on. The real big change in expense is a hotel room. For me, these guys are sharing a room, so it's a lot cheaper. And for me, it's just gonna be a little more expensive. I do have one of the chaperones going. Cody Jensen's going to be attending with us. So he's planning on going with us, and we're going to share a room to help offset a little bit of that cost that way. The other kind of cool thing, my wife would tell you that I'm not a traveler. I have anxiety to go to Provo. and so to take a bunch of kids to Louisville, Kentucky, I'm a little bit afraid. So what I did is I have a really good friend from Wayne County. She's the ag teacher in Wayne County. And she's been to National Earth Day Convention multiple times. And so what we've decided to do is we're planning with them. We're not going just the six of us and throw us out in the big city. She's planning on, we're tag teaming the planning, and we're going to try to get discounts by booking together. When I originally started that, we were going to have females go with us too, so I was going to use her as my female chaperone, and I was going to be her male chaperone. So hopefully that'll work out really well. Obviously, we'll have separate transportation. As we book our rental car, we'll go through the state, so insurance and stuff like that will all be included in that, and it'll just be me driving that. So hopefully, I guess my license with the district all works for that one too. So the last thing that I want to talk about is the second packet that you guys have. It's a big honker. I killed a tree to make you some copies, and I could have killed probably three more because this is just one little section. Now, what National FFA did is they went through all of their convention sessions, is this packet right here, and they took their standards and objectives for their session, and they applied it to the Common Core curriculum, to the Agriculture Core curriculum, and basically that's what that is it goes session by session. Of session one, here's what we're going to talk about, and here's what the kids are getting out of it while they're sitting there. So these are the standards objectives just for the National Convention sessions. Now, I could have printed the tours one, but it was 40 pages long, and I decided not to. So if you really want to see what standards and objectives the tours have, I can send you a link to that or anything like that. I really do think the National FFA Convention is the next step for our chapter. We've had a lot of attendance to our state conventions and a lot of attendance to our state contests. The limiting factor has always been my kids haven't really got the desire to go out there and win so that they can get a trip to National FFA Convention. And I really think that's because they don't really know what it is. I went when I was a senior, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. In that little short video you saw, one of the times when they're talking, it kind of panned up and you saw all those FFA jackets. Tons of kids out there. And that was one of the biggest things for me, and that made my career choice for me, that I wanted to be involved in that program for my professional career. And I really do think that it has a lot of value to it. So in closing, I do have one more short video clip about the National FFA Convention. So I'm going to start with that.
Thank you. it's no longer something in a book that says, well, your possible career fields are, you know, and then it lists them. At this point, it's now a choice of where I'm compelled to be, what I'm fascinated by, what I'm intrigued with, and that's a much more powerful driving force to motivate education and achievement.
The excitement, and everyone coming from all over the place, I mean, from California to, you know, West Virginia, Virginia, wherever it may be, and we're all here for the same purpose, that we love agriculture, we love the MFA, and we want to be leaders and be successful.
I believe, and our school believes, that the educational value that these kids get is just tremendous on many levels.
So as a principal, I care about them coming to the convention because they come here and they're exposed to so many different opportunities, and they take that back to our schools and our community and are able to use those things in our community to help our school grow.
All the career opportunities here at convention are awesome because it gives members, students, anybody just the opportunity to be open-minded about potential job or college that they can go to.
At Ohio State University, we love coming to National FFA Convention. It's great to talk to the current FFA members, talk to them about leadership experiences they are having and some of the career development events. Talk to them then about how those apply to the majors we have at Ohio State and jobs they can find with some of the companies that are also here exhibiting at the show.
I'd say the biggest takeaway is probably all the people I've met. Because one thing FFA has really taught me is how important the connections you make are in life and how far just those can get you.
This gives you faith in the youth of America, you know, that they're working hard, they're studying in school, they're working to the benefit of themselves, their families, their communities.
There's so many jobs that FFA has shown me that there are there. It's not just farming, it's across the board.
Those students that are in FFA and know that they like leadership, we know that that's something we want them to continue at the collegiate level. We know that the companies that hire our graduates are looking for leadership skills as well. Those soft skills that come oftentimes out of the classroom experiences. Not always those things we can teach in a classroom setting, but the times where they're put on the spot to make a difficult decision and they're the ones that rise to the top.
While he's taking care of that, I'd like to say a little bit about FFA. This past week, the stock show over in Farron, I would say, is the biggest stock show that we have ever had. And there were people from all over the state. The fairgrounds is right across the road from my house. And there were so many trailers and people from all over the state camping there that they couldn't get in that area anymore. They parked on the streets and so on. And it was a great thing for the FFA. I attended some of the auction, and the grand champion steer sold for $5,000.
Wow.
And I had some neighbor kids who had pigs. They weren't the grand champion or the reserves, but they got $500 a piece for their pigs, and it was a great thing. Now, I'm a FFA member years ago, and I had steers, and where did I show my steers? Up in North Salt Lake. That's where we would take our steers up to North Salt Lake, and that's where the auction would finally be. And I should have worn it tonight. I still have my FFA jacket.
Does it fit?
It fit Gwen.
Oh.
When Mrs. Callahan was the principal of the junior high, I went to the FFA banquet and I honored her by letting her wear my FFA jacket. A lot of good things, and the FFA has done so much. We had trips at that time, but it was in the back of a truck. We went to Yellowstone Park as
Don't
FFA.
Don't get any ideas.
No, I'm trying not to do that.
We went to Yellowstone Park in the summer, and then one other time We went to Southern California. So we had fun just like you did.
Awesome. Yeah, both of these guys showed at the stock show last week. Nate Gilbert actually had the grand champion goat.
Well, that sold for what, $800?
$1,200.
For a goat?
Okay.
So, great.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, I guess in closing, I can answer whatever questions you guys have
for
us.
I didn't go to the dance.
Did you take students last year, or is this
no,
the first time you
haven't done it? This will be the first year that I've
done it. We used to send kids to the, not send them, but we did have kids years ago that went every year to the national convention. It usually was in Kansas City.
Yeah, it originated in Kansas City.
But it's been a number of years since we've had any go, and I think it's just a great experience for them. It really is.
What I would really like to do is try to go every other year. In our high school setting, that gives all the kids the opportunity to have the opportunity to go, but it's not so expensive every year. Obviously, if we have state winners, then I'd like to take my state winners when we have that happen too. But it is something that needs to happen. You know, in my 8 years of teaching, I haven't taken a group to National FFA Convention. And at the end of the year, as I was kind of evaluating my own program, that was the big missing link. That, you know, from my program up at Bear River High School in Tremont, you know, we went every year, and that was the thing that really, it did make my career choice for me to go to National FFA Convention and see how it was. So I really would like to take kids, and it is a good opportunity.
Thank you. You've done an excellent job of selling it to us. We appreciate that. I think we all
I was
would
waiting
agree
for
with
the
that.
FarmersOnly.com commercial.
I can probably
pull it out.
Well, I would enthusiastically make that motion that we approve that trip.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And you are welcome to stay for this boring meeting, or we'll excuse you if you so
you
desire.
Won't if you want.
No, we.
All right. Well, I'll probably stay because I haven't been to any, and I
great.
Guess I should probably should. So
well, you're
good
welcome
luck
to.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
and
you
be good.
Represent Emory County well.
Thank you.
I'm sure they will.
They always do.
Yeah. We have policy actions, new policy.
Yes, we do.
I'll
let
you
just say
go
first
through.
Of all,
oh.
That FFA in my mind is one of the greatest
yes.
leadership.
Yep.
Builder
yep.
that
yep.
we have in any of the programs. They focus their efforts,
FFA
most
person.
Of it, they focus on building leadership.
Does it? Oh, yeah.
Hard.
You don't get rid of it either.
Public speaking and
pretty
it goes
important.
Beyond the things you
well,
think about FFA.
Yeah, we did a little survey of the civic leaders just in the county. And
I don't know
me
if you'd
and
let me.
Mr. Christiansen, we came up with dozens of names
mm-hmm.
of people who learned their mm-hmm. parliament procedure. That they use in their city council meetings or their
sure.
board meetings or
yeah.
anything like that, water board, they learn that through the FFA. You know, these are skills that kids are going to use forever.
That's
so.
True.
They sent Gary Wilson and I to the Nationals without being chaperoned. I think that was changed the next year.
I bet it was.
I
can't. Even
I think they canceled
scary
the
to think about.
Y'all
scary.
Back
oh, my gracious. Terrifying.
We did years ago on occasion partner with other districts, San Juan Carbon and others, and sent kids with their chaperones or ours went with them. So anyway, we do have some policy new and some revisions. Policy BJC, which is one that was tabled in last meeting, as you recall, it's the posting of political signs
right.
on school district property. There was a question about when political parties are using our facilities for their convention or meetings about signs, and so in that policy I have added political signs may be posted on public property owned or leased by the school district during a period of time that the real property, building, or structure is rented out by the school district to a private party for a meeting, convention, or similar event.
That was a good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and so
well worded.
That's
yep.
Been added to that. The next one's a little sensitive to talk about, but we're required to have a policy on breastfeeding in the workplace.
Here, here.
Okay. The House Bill 242 in this last legislative session requires that we have a policy that requires where reasonably feasible a place in a school building where mothers who have determined to breastfeed may do so, and to provide breaks generally in concert with the breaks that are already there, recess time or other things, and also a refrigerator to store the milk. So we have written into policy what the law says, but it also says the school is not required to comply with the requirements if it would create an undue hardship on the operations of the school or significant expenses and financial resources and those things. I think most of our schools do have areas where this can happen. The law says that it really should not be a regular toilet room or restroom, but this differs from school to school depending on the facility. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can work with it, and we will do the very best that we can. I think all of the schools have refrigerators, and but it also requires that we not discriminate in hiring based on or terminate employee or based on their desires to do this. So if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. The policy pretty much follows word for word what the law says. So we also have policy GBGBA. This policy is a new policy, and it's intended to clarify the liability, according to risk management, of having weapons in the school, particularly as a relates to concealed weapon permit holders. And it's basically to clarify, first of all, that dangerous weapons are not allowed in the school. Firearms are not allowed in the school except in cases where they are allowed by state statute, such as law enforcement officers and those authorized to possess a concealed firearm by state statute. And it does talk about the what that law requires, that be on the person. It cannot be stored in school district equipment or cabinets, or it has to be on the person. Also, according to risk management, if an employee has a concealed weapons permit and uses that weapon, it doesn't matter under what circumstance, they are acting as a private citizen and not as an employee of the school district.
That's a good point.
So risk management does not provide liability coverage for someone who has a concealed weapons permit if they use the weapon on school property or in the school facility. They are, I assume, protected by their own personal insurance or whatever, but they're acting as a private citizen. It's not in the scope of their employment.
But a teacher who has a concealed weapon permit can
carry.
By law, we cannot stop them.
They can't.
Anywhere.
They have a right.
Universities, public schools, any public building. They are allowed to do that. However, if they tell someone that they have a concealed weapons permit and are carrying a concealed weapon, then it's no longer a concealed weapon. So if they do tell someone, then we probably have an obligation to have them take it home, or because if you inform someone that you have a concealed weapon on you, then it's by law not considered a concealed weapon anymore, because you know it's there. So there's a lot of controversy over concealed weapon permit, weapons in schools, but the law does not allow us to deny a person from carrying a concealed weapon if they have a permit, a legal permit. But the key to all of this is that if they use it, even in defense of students or other employees, they are acting as a private citizen.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of responsibility with that.
And
there is.
One of the concerns that law enforcement has is the fact that, now there are those who would say, I wish all my teachers would. I've heard superintendents in the state say that. But the one big concern that law enforcement has is when they enter a building, if you have an intruder, and you come across an employee that is holding a gun,
right,
they could be misidentified as the intruder, and they could be shot. So it's kind of a very, there's a fine line there, and it's a dangerous situation. But I'm not here to either promote it or say I'm against it. I'm here to say that this is the law. It defines what a concealed weapon is, and that if a person uses it, they are acting as a private citizen. Do you have any questions on the wording on that? And we'll have these posted as they're approved. And the last one is the fee schedule. It's time to approve the annual fee schedule. We have had one request from Memory High with regard to the art fees. Mr. Royal and Mr. Davis have both recommended that the art fees be standardized at $25 for all art classes. Mr. Davis, in this email that I attached, indicates that the fees have been $15, and they would like to standardize, and some of them are $25,
yeah,
but mm-hmm, standardize them at $25. It's the only request we've had from any principal for a fee change. So I've included that. I think it's on the draft copy in the red.
Mm-hmm.
For Emory High, and I think there were two classes. Photography is already $25, but I think it's the ceramics and the art foundations or whatever. And so those are the four policies I have tonight. I'm still working on policies for about four other laws that were passed in the last legislature. And when we have those ready, we'll bring those. I would recommend the board approve those policy revisions and new policies.
I'll approve.
I'll second
that. Policies and new policies.
Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, approval of negotiated items with Emory Education Association.
And I'll probably just go ahead and present
both items
together.
That'd be great.
We have met over the course of the summer with Emory Education Association. Kim is here representing the association today, and then with the Classified Association as well. And most of you have been a part of at least one of those meetings. And so we have here on the green paper the proposed financial settlements for our negotiations. And the summary of that is that the district would fund steps and lanes for qualifying employees, a 3% cost of living increase on each of our salary schedules. We would maintain our insurance, health insurance, at a level of 93.3% of district funding, and the same HSA contributions that we've had this last year. Identical on dental insurance, where the district funds 60%. And then for the Emory Educators Association, we would like to add one additional extended day, which is a professional development day that the teachers can use sometimes during the school year, sometimes during the summer, at $200 per day. We funded three for the last several years,
mm-hmm,
and so we'd be adding one more. And then for the Classified Association, we are proposing to move the custodial position from a grade 5 to a grade 7. And also in our discussions with them, implementation of a rotating job study schedule, which we have done on occasion, just maybe not as consistently as we'll try to do in the future. So those are the items that we'd like to propose. We have built all of that into our budget for the 2016 fiscal year, so I feel confident that we can afford that from a financial perspective. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. If not, I'd recommend approval of those two settlements, with the comment as well that we've appreciated the cordial relationship that we've had in those meetings. Also with the Educators Association, where I we'll work through the rest of the summer and into the school year with. We've had quite a bit of discourse on communication and helping relationships to improve in the district and some things like that. So we'll continue to work on that, aside from the financial part that we've talked about today.
With the classified, do they get the same percent?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that?
Right.
On
yeah.
Okay.
There. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I would make a motion that we accept these negotiations as you have explained them to us.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Great deal.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thanks for all of you that took part with that and made it work.
A lot of thank yous from our members, too.
Great.
Any public comments? Oh, let's do the business administrator's report then.
Nothing today.
Okay. How about you, Kurt, superintendent?
Just for your information, the USBA Leadership Academy is going to be held at the Zermatt in Midway September 17th, 18th, and 19th. If any of you have a desire to attend that, I need to know. Probably we have to have the registrations in by the August 16th, but we also need to make reservations for you if you want to go. So if you could let me know maybe by the 7th or so of August, another week or two, if you want to attend the Leadership Academy. This isn't the board president, vice president work training. This is for any board member who would like to go. We can make the arrangements for you to be there and get you registered.
Very
so
worthwhile.
Is there some place we can look online to see what they teaching, or
you might go to the USBA website. I haven't looked to see what they're offering, if they have an agenda posted yet or not.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I didn't receive an agenda, only the information on the where it is and the costs and the deadlines. But and I don't have their website. If you Google Utah School Boards Association, it'll take you to their website.
Yeah.
And you can look for Leadership Academy and see if there's an agenda posted.
They usually do.
I said I haven't been for 20 years.
So
I don't know. I'd like to know about the agenda.
They generally will take you through all of the areas of boardsmanship. They will also probably have sessions on finance and policy making. They'll talk about responsibilities of board members. They will probably also big time talk about their master
boardsmanship
program.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm on about the third level myself.
Good for you.
So. I think Jared
you can
catching up with me though.
No,
become a master boardsman.
Are you guys
I think I'm two levels.
So let me know in the next couple of weeks, and we'll.
It's kind of crazy.
Either Jared or I, either one.
When
if you let us know, we'll
eyes.
Get the arrangements made for you.
I don't see anything on the website. So
okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
We can. I'll send an email up and see what they have.
Okay. Anything?
Yeah. I've also included in what you were sent an agenda for our opening institute. We're going to be focusing this year on youth suicide prevention and also on student learning objectives, more fondly known as SLOs. These are part of the educator evaluation program, and basically in concert with our core testing will be what teachers will be writing in order to assess how successful they are in student achievement. The last I heard, they were even going to allow teachers, administrators to choose. Up until now, if you were teaching in a tested area, you had to use at least one of your student achievement measures as the test. And then you could do an SLO or you could do two tested areas. Now it looks like they're going to allow a choice with teachers that if they choose to do two SLOs and not use the core test, they can. But the principal and teacher would determine what that student learning objective would be for the year for that course or for whatever they're teaching, and then conference throughout the year and then assess it at the end of the year whether it would matter or not. So that's what we're going to focus. We have state office people coming to train teachers in SLOs, and then we have Greg Hudnall from the Hope for Utah Foundation, who will be coming to talk about suicide prevention, youth suicide prevention. Greg Hudnall is a former assistant superintendent, Provo School District, and on the side he's been working for this Hope for Utah, which is focuses on teen suicide prevention. It should be really good. I also have a letter of retirement from Tony Hurst, who's been a special ed educational assistant, I believe, at Castledale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just wrote down. Jackie said that when you read that, she did not bribe her to say what she said.
She ought to have a raise.
You ought to have a raise.
Yeah.
That was funny.
But anyway, I do have that for your information. And also at the bottom of the my report, I have a calendar there for you that talks about sub-training. Our next school board meeting, our hazardous materials training, administrative council, new teacher training, our opening institute, and our benefits fair that same day. Just for your information on those dates. Two other really quick things. The delegate assembly for the Utah School Boards Association is August 14th and 15th. It would be the night of the 14th. They have a dinner and speakers. And then the 15th, next morning until about noon, they vote on their legislative program. I attached to your report tonight. This is the meeting. I went to this meeting on Monday. This is the legislative priorities that they come up with that will be presented at the delegate assembly. We need one board member to attend to be a voting member. We don't have to have a member there, but they like to have a member, a voting member from every school district. So, Laurel, as board president, I guess you'll have to assign someone or at some point.
We have
another meeting 2 days before this, but I don't know that you'd want to spring that on someone 2 days before.
And if any of you want to, let me know. I can do it if no one wants to. I'll be up there probably anyway. So let me know. I'm happy to have you.
And if someone else wants to go and you need a room, we'll get a room scheduled for you. And
what day of the week?
It's the Friday evening at 6, and then Saturday morning until noon.
It's right in the middle of all the fair.
The food's really good.
Yeah. So
it is. Yeah, I think it's.
It does.
Yeah.
The week after.
It's another roll. You're right.
That's not one of those breads.
And also, if any of you, I think I've talked to all of you except Julie. Utah High School Activity Association have athletic passes that get you into any of the high school activities throughout the state. It's $30, so if you want one, I need to order those from the High School Activity Association. We usually get them ordered and then try to collect money from board members.
Sometimes it takes longer than other times.
If you want one, let me know. It covers any of the regular season games of any school in the state. You plus a partner, one other person.
Really?
And also your region and state tournaments. It covers all of those if you decide to go and if we have any teams in them. So let me know and I'll.
Okay.
Right now, I think Roy is the only one that's indicated he wants to pass. So.
I'll take one.
Okay, I'll put you down too. And I think that's all I have, so.
Okay. Public comments? Do we miss those?
When's your teacher training?
It is August 19th and 20th. It'll be the Wednesday and Thursday before school starts.
Thanks.
And Kim, the luncheon and benefits fair, unless plans change, you're just going to be right there at Emory High.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to bring that up.
So we'll have the benefits fair kind of out by the auditorium in the lobby there. And then the luncheon, just in the lunchroom.
And we can come to that,
mm-hmm.
can't
yeah.
we? Okay.
Families. It's for
everybody.
Employees and their families.
Okay.
So, and that will be, we've gone down to the rec center and the pavilion, but we're going to have it at Emory High School, so. Thanks for.
Any closed meeting items? I think we do.
Yeah, we have one, don't we?
So, yes.
Regarding personnel?
Right.
I move that we go into closed session for personnel item.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, any opposed? Thank you for coming.
Thanks, all of you.
Hey, thank you guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Time and your.
How are you?
Not bad.
Just moving home, so.
Well, glad you came over.
You're teaching at Carbondale.
You must be reborn.
Well, I'm in the.